Hi, this is Tiffany Black, and I'm doing my promised podcast on how to make bath fizzies. What I've got here is a squirt bottle that's already got water and witch hazel in it. Witch hazel, by the way, is a liquid. It's an astringent. So it's kind of nice to have in your bath fizzy. It's just a regular old little mister bottle. Now, let's see, what do I need? I decided to play around with some scent today. And here's a tip for if you want to experiment with your scent. Put 2 drops of each scent that you think you want to mix together on a cotton ball. And then smell the cotton ball. And if the cotton ball smells all right, you're probably good to go. So anyway, I'm just getting my scented oil now. I'm going to dry out the raspberry. And you need a lot of scent for bath fizzies, because they get pretty diluted in a tub full of bath water. I discovered this because it was my very first batch. I made them far too weak. So, 1/2 ounce of raspberry, essential oil, and I'm also going to put some honey almond in because I just thought it would be fun to do. And we'll just get this cotton ball out of my way since I've already used it and tested it and I like it. And my almond extract, scented oil is in a squeeze bottle. So I'm going to squeeze about 50 drops, I think, in here. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 31, 6, 7, 8, 9, 41, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 50. There we go. Let's see how it smells. I'd say that smells just about right. Okay, so that is the liquid part of the bath fizzies. And I was cruising around online shopping for new scents the other day, and I found something that is coming from Florida, so it will probably come in about 2 weeks. It's an additive you can put in called sodium lauryl. Sodium lauryl sulfoacetate. It's a little bit tricky to pronounce, but what it is something that makes powdered bubble bath, and you can put it in with your bath fizzies, or you can make a powder with it. And I think it'd be fun to do with bath fizzies, because then your fizzy will fizz and race around the tub, and it'll spit out bath foam while it's fizzing around. I think that could be kind of fun. Okay, so I'm getting out my dry ingredients to put in a bowl. I'm getting 1/2 cup of citric acid. It's a powder. And my sister, who took a semester of chemistry, tells me that it is safe as long as you don't mix it with just straight water. And we're not exactly going to be doing that, so it is going to be perfectly safe. The other thing I'm going to get out is baking soda. And the baking soda and the citric acid do this thing. It's basically like a stronger version of soda and vinegar. So what you do is you put 1/2 as much citric acid in as you do soda. So I put in 1/2 cup of citric acid. I'm putting in 1 cup of soda. And I get these 10-pound bags of soda from Florida. I could probably go down to Costco and get it too, except that every time I go to Costco, I want to buy everything they have. So I don't. Okay, and make sure this nice Ziploc bag of soda is sealed so that it doesn't go poofing out all over the place when I put it down. And now I need to pause and get a spoon because I forgot to get a spoon. Okay, I am back. And, excuse me, I have my spoon. So, I'm going to just kind of mix these dry ingredients together. They say you can put things like leaves or whatever down here in this dry stuff, but, you know, I did that. I took a bath one time with something that I put lavender flowers in, and the lavender flowers went and stuck to the sides of the tub, so I don't put leaves in mine. Those, I think, are better suited to soaps and probably soaps. Maybe shampoos. I'm going to learn to make shampoo next month, too, so I'll tell ya. Okay, now I'm going to... Oh, let's see. Good. I already put the top back on my squirt bottle. So, here's what you do. Squirt it three times into the dry mix. There it goes. And it fizzes just a teeny weeny bit. It's that soda and citric acid reaction. Then you just mix it a little bit. And this, of course, will not get it very wet, which is fine because you don't want to add too much too fast or it will really bubble all over the place and it will start rising on you. Okay, I'd say I've got that mixed in. Now I'm going to squirt again. And it's going to fizz again. And you just keep squirting and mixing for a while. And every so often you feel it. And it's still far too powdery, of course, because I've just started. Another three squirts. And what you're getting is about the... you know when you make biscuits and it's you haven't put the milk in yet, it's just the dry stuff and the shortening and you've crumbled it up, it's kind of that crumbly feeling. What they say on the directions on the beginner kit I got is that you make it so that it's moist enough that you can pack it like a snowball. And so every now and then, I'd say in another maybe 12 squirts, I'll check it and see. It really does take quite a bit of squirting to do this, to mix these. Oh, you know what? Shame on me. I did something naughty and I forgot to add my color. Well, since I've only squirted about 12 times, I don't think it'll matter much. So you know what? I'm going to reopen my lid. And I'm going to put some red color in because this is very white powder. It'll make it pink. So, I'm going to put a lot of red in to make it a very dark pink. And this bottle drops dye very slowly. And so I'm just holding it upside down. I'm holding the bottle right over the top of the mouth of the squirt jar. And I'm holding it up next to my ear so that I can hear the drops going down. And I think that's probably about enough. So I'll take this bottle and flip it back upright. And set down my squirt bottle. Yeah, fortunately I didn't get very far. I did that one time making soap too, and fortunately I remembered it just as I had poured the soap into the mold, so it was still very nice and liquid, and I was able to just pour it into the, you know, squirt some color into the mold and mix it in, and I managed to save my tail. All right, so, you know, whoops, let's see, put the top back on the squirt bottle, that would be good. And shake it up just a little. Alrighty, another 3 squirts. And I squirted my spoon handle. I didn't really want to do that. But I suppose I will survive. Okay, so since I'm just sitting here mixing and squirting, which is not very exciting, I suppose I could take this opportunity to tell you a little more about who I am and what I'm all about and all that kind of crazy stuff. I will be 31 in about 4.5 weeks on the 6th of May. And I was born with a condition called microphthalmias, which means that I have very small eyes, probably due to Bendectin, which is a morning sickness pill that my mother took, and it made cysts grow on my eyes. They are in the very lower lid, and actually, my left eye developed 3 months, my right eye developed 4 months, so the cyst in my left eye was a lot bigger. And the doctors told my parents that I would not see colors, I would not be able to see print. And I managed to prove them wrong. My mother realized when I was 2 years old that I could tell colors apart. So with my good right eye, I was able to actually see colors, and they actually were going to make me simply learn to read print in school, and my parents told them that they were going to teach me Braille, which was a good thing because I ended up not being able to read print after I was 12. I had a cornea transplant when I was 8.5 because my old cornea had vascularized, and it was not very good for anything. So, and I had to be in for a retina detachment. They froze it back in place, and they transplanted the cornea at the same time. And they told my parents, you know, this may or may not work. It may vascularize, just like the old one, and that's precisely what it did. But I had 2 years of even better vision. I was able to actually stand about 3 feet away and read some big inch-high, very bold numbers, which is the best vision I have ever had. So, it went downhill again, and I just kind of went with it. It was so gradual, I didn't even realize I couldn't read print until I was 14. And then, when I was 19, I decided to have the left eye completely removed because I was getting eye infections all the time because the cyst was hanging out into the air and picking up anything that happened by. And I was getting very tired of being on antibiotics all the time. So I had the left eye removed, and when they removed the left eye, I went total in the right eye because I lost all the peripheral that I had, which didn't really disturb me because I just I expected it to happen at some point. So, I have been a total for the past 11 years. And but I do, of course, have that understanding of what color is, which I am glad that I have, actually. So, I moved out of my parents' house when I was 18 because well, we just didn't get along all that well. And I needed to test my wings and fall on my butt and everything that I had to do. So, I did that. And I attempted college, didn't do so well at all, really. And sat around on disability for a while, got bored with it, and I was living in a building for all disabled people in Seattle, which shall remain nameless. I did 5 years there, and I got tired of just the kind of things that happened there. It was a very depressing place. Because a lot of people, their families didn't come to see them, and there was a lot of alcohol abuse and a lot of drug abuse, and a lot of people who were just miserable and had given up. And I used to call the time between Easter and Thanksgiving the death season, because usually 5 or 6 people would die, and they would be in their 30s, 40s, 50s. And it was either usually pneumonia from being wheelchair bound, or the bed sore infection got out of hand, or they bled out from drinking too much alcohol, you know. So it was a very kind of depressing place to be. It was good as far as support, because there was always someone there to help write checks and read mail if you needed, or you know, all the rooms were accessible, but it just was depressing. So I got a job, and the funny thing is that I got a job at the Lighthouse for the Blind, which was directly next door to the low-income housing place that I was living, and I promptly moved across Puget Sound to Bremerton. Because it was much more affordable to live in Bremerton than it was to live in Seattle, in non-low-income housing, if you wanted any kind of a quality apartment. Oh, this is nearly moistened enough. It needs a few more squirts. But anyhow, I moved to Bremerton. I would get up every morning at 3:30. I left my house at 4:30, and I am definitely not a morning person. I managed to do it for 4 years. I don't know how, but I was very close to insane by the end of those 4 years. But I left every morning at 3:30 in the or 4:30 in the morning, and I got home every afternoon at 5:30, provided, of course, that I didn't miss my boat, which didn't happen very often because I hated getting home late. The next boat home would get me home at 8:00 in the evening, so I didn't usually stay to socialize in Seattle all that much. And I was getting progressively exhausted and progressively depressed, because now living out of the non-sheltered universe of the disabled building in Seattle, I was beginning to really come face to face with sighted people and their ignorance, and I had a very low tolerance for that kind of thing, because I was of the opinion that if I said no, that should be respected. And a lot of commuters would just, they'd see me walking down the street and walking near something that I might run into, and they would just grab me and start pulling on my coat sleeve. And I very much did not like that. And I got very angry and very unpleasant, and a lot of people really didn't like me. I think they were very glad when I left. And, you know, of course, that's not the best thing to do when you're a blind person, because then they think everyone's going to be like that, but that's where I was at the time, and I ended up in a very severe depression, both from the exhaustion and from the anger that I was trying to suppress and not suppressing very well, and then I hated myself because I didn't. So, finally, I moved back home, which I never expected I would do, but I did. I now live out in the country, about 12 miles from town, and I find it's much easier to live with myself out here because there's only my mother and my sister and my father to deal with, and, well, for me, for starters, it's a lot easier for me to be, you know, to handle being mad at someone if I know who I'm mad at. When these commuters would grab me, they usually would not speak up to ask me if I wanted assistance, so I didn't know who I was mad at, and that didn't help. but anyhow, I've lived here 3 years. I have a very large rose garden. I have, I think, 21 bushes, and I have my 22nd in the mail. Well, I don't. It's coming UPS, I believe. By the way, I don't advise shopping on the Jackson and Perkins website. It's not exactly the friendliest site I have ever met. The Spring Hill Nursery site is much better. But anyhow, I'm getting a nice double delight rose tree in a couple days. I'm really excited because I had a bush, and it got sick last year and apparently died. I'm letting it sit and try to wake up this spring just to see if it will, because sometimes it'll come back, and sometimes it'll come back as whatever the root was instead of the graft, so it could be something else entirely when it comes back, if it does. I'm hoping it does, because there was a little bit of green down in the inside of the stem. I had my sister check that for me last year. One of these days I ought to, once they all leaf out again from the summer, I ought to take you out into my rose garden for a podcast. But I think I will get a digital recorder first. Yeah, it's better, but you know, it still feels a bit powdery to me, so I'm going to give it just a few more squirts. Takes a lot to get through all of this powder. Anyway, so I was working 8 hours a week at a place called the International Sewing Fabricators, and I just got the job last year. There was a little stuff going with our commission for the blind down here, and I was like a priority three person, and they were only accepting priority ones when I moved down here, so it took a while to get my case opened. But I finally did. So I got a job last April, and I was folding panel markers, which were bright pink pieces of material. They were flags that the military was using to mark out boundaries. And that contract ran out last June, and then I went, because I had computer skills, I was able to keep my job while two other ladies were laid off. And I researched golf courses, and I hope I never hear about golf again, because what I was doing, I was researching golf carts. Who had what kind of golf carts? Because we were going to make an electric cart cover. And my job was to find out who had the cart covers that we had the template for, or who had the carts that we had the template for, rather. And then my job was to call them all up and schedule appointments with them for my boss to go around and demonstrate the product. Unfortunately, he has another business, and he was getting rather distracted with it because people kept quitting on him, and he had to go in and fill in. So he wasn't making his appointments, and so I got laid off last week, which is a bummer in a way, financially, but it's also a very great relief because now I don't have to wonder when I'm going to be laid off. And I can go and look for a job I like better because that golf stuff was really beginning to drive me out of my head, especially with him not turning up for his appointments. All right, I'm satisfied. This is moist enough. So now I'm going to get a plastic tray mold. These are hearts with flowers on them. And I'm going to grab a little bit of, whoops, throw my bottle off the side. Okay, I'm going to grab a little handful of my bath fizzy mixture. And I'm going to take it and I'm going to smash it into this soap mold so that it gets the shape of the mold. These are little hearts with flowers in the flower pattern in the bottom of the mold. So I have 9 molds in this particular rectangle. And I should warn you, these plastic molds don't hold up very well. But they're cheap, which is probably why they don't hold up very well. Alrighty, there's 2 hearts done. So anyways, that's me in a nutshell. There we go. And I am a big nut, so I belong in a nutshell. And, alrighty, here we go. So what I'm going to do, after I fill up a couple of these molds, because these are just the guest soap-sized molds, they're about 1/2 ounce each little heart. So these are little ones. So it'll take about 5 sets of molds to fill this up. I'm going to let them sit for about 2 hours, and then I take a piece of cardboard that I have. I took a box and I ripped it up and flattened it out. And I turn the molds upside down over the cardboard and release these. And then they are ready to go. They're ready to be thrown in your hot bath and fizz around the tub and race all over the place. Tonight I'm doing heart shapes in this first one, and then I'm also doing a set of 3 frogs and 3 turtles. And I've got one with some sea creatures. I've got dolphins, starfish, and a couple of clamshells. And I've got a couple that are just a couple of various shapes. It's got a set of grapes on it, and what else has it got? A little absent-minded this evening. See, grapes, a pear, cherries, and then it's also got a square, a circle, and a heart. You can also do these in the big 3 or 4 ounce molds that make the big soaps, and they will make bigger cakes, of course. There we go. There's my frogs and turtles. Anyhow, that is it. That is how you make bath fizzies. And I have got fizzy crumbs all over my lap. So, I hope this was fun for you. My email is tiffblack@earthlink.net. And that's also my messenger if you want to add me. And my Skype is tiffleblack. Hope you enjoyed this, and have a good day.